God, source of all light, by your word, give light to our lives. Amen.
Good morning. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Acts. This is chapter 8, and I'll be reading from verses 26 through 39. It can be found on page 1705 or on the screens ahead. This is Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. This is chapter 24, and I'll be reading from verses 44 through 47. Again, it can be found on the screens ahead or on page 1644. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Thanks be to God for his word.
Good morning. It is so good to see everybody today. I hope everybody had a good week. Are you glad to be here today? What is today? Sunday. You get to come to church and to sing songs of praise to God. You get to pray to him, special with everybody that's here. I think this is a wonderful day that God has given us. Today we heard the scripture about a man called Philip. Now Philip's job was, he was one of the, I call them extra disciples, because they needed extra people to help the disciples because they were busy preaching. So they needed somebody extra to go around and help the widows and the poor people and make sure they had money and food and clothes, places to live. So I call them the extra disciples. So Philip was one of them. And he had been going around when the other disciples were busy. I think he was preaching too, just like Pastor Chris preaches. And so while he was doing this, the Holy Spirit came to him and he said, "I want you to stop what you're doing. And I want you to go down that road to the south. And I want you to kind of hang around there. There's going to be somebody there. You're going to need to talk to him." So Philip listened to the Holy Spirit because he knew he was sent from God. And he went down that road and he had to walk, because that's how they got around. They walked and walked and walked. And he was hanging around there and he saw a chariot, which is another way they got around. A chariot is a piece of round wood with a platform where you either stood or sat, and a horse would pull it, almost like a wagon in our, what we think of now. And there was a man sitting there. He was a eunuch, and he was reading the book of Isaiah because he had just been to church or to the temple to worship. And on his way back home, he was sitting there, and I think he was going over what he had heard at the temple. And he just couldn't understand it. And he was sitting there and sitting there. And he must have been thinking really hard about it. And I think God knew this, and that's why the Holy Spirit sent Philip to him. And Philip says, what are you reading? And he goes, "Well, I'm reading this scripture, and it talks about this part here. What does that mean? I just don't understand it. Sometimes when somebody tells you something, do you understand it right away? Like your teacher in school, if they explain something new, do you understand right away?
Yeah.
Sometimes no. You're pretty good then. That's good. But anyway, the Holy Spirit sent Philip to tell this man what the scripture meant. And it was his way, an opening, his way to have Philip tell him the whole story of Jesus. Just this little piece of scripture that he didn't understand. And now with Philip coming, he explained everything. And the man's eyes were opened and he understood what this meant. He understood that Jesus loved him. He understood that Jesus came to earth as a baby. He understood that he lived and he was preaching God's word. He understood finally that Jesus died for him to save him from his sins. And this was all because the Holy Spirit sent Philip on this mission. I know sometimes if I'm told to do something, I don't always want to do it because I'm afraid or I don't think I know enough, right? Do you ever have that when you have you ever had to give like a speech in your classroom or read a report in your classroom and you're like, ooh, I would rather maybe give away a toy than stand here and tell somebody something. But the Holy Spirit, if we open our hearts to God, will fill us up with all that information we need so that we can explain things to other people or even just know ourselves what all of these words in the Bible mean. So we have to remember to be open. We have to remember to pray to God to give us the strength and the knowledge to send the Holy Spirit into our hearts and our souls so that we have this knowledge, that we can spread the news around the world. And that's what God wants us to do as disciples, to spread his word, his love, so that everybody knows that he loves them and we have to love him back. And one way we can show God how we love him is what? Pray, sing praises to him, talk to other people about him. This just makes God so happy when we tell others about him. So let's remember to let the Holy Spirit in to strengthen us and give us those words, okay? Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us this day that we could come again to hear your words, to sing your praises, and to pray to you, to pour out our hearts, whether it be something joyful or something sad. You give us strength, Father, to handle anything. Be with us now and keep us as we start a new week, and help us to keep you in every day and in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Nancy. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So let's set the stage a little bit this morning before we jump into our story. So when last we looked at the gospel, last week when Pastor Tom preached, the disciples were gathered in the upper room and Jesus appeared to them. About 40 days after that, Jesus ascended into heaven with all the disciples standing there looking up at him. 10 days after that, they were gathered together in the temple when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And we're going to look more closely at that story here in just a few weeks. But as the church began to grow and their numbers increased, they realized that these 12 disciples that were now called apostles, they were having trouble sort of keeping track with all of the administrative functions that were happening in this growing church. And a complaint came to them that there were some widows who were being treated better than others. It seemed that the widows of those who were from a Hebrew background were receiving their meals first, whereas the Greek Jewish widows were not receiving their food at the same time. And so the disciples got together and they decided, led by the Holy Spirit, that they needed to seek out some people that were full of the Holy Spirit that would be able to sort of oversee these mercy ministries of this growing community. They initially chose seven of these, what they called deacons, from the Greek diakonos, which means waiter or servant. So think about the person when you go to a restaurant who takes your order and brings you your food. That person is a deacon, at least in the Greek sense of the word. So two out of these seven in particular take on some meaning for us. One of them is Stephen, who becomes the first person who dies on account of proclaiming his faith. The other is Philip, who we encounter today. So Philip is doing his ministry of caring for the least of these when the Holy Spirit taps him on the shoulder and says, "Philip, I have a new mission for you. I want you to go to this road at this time and wait there for my instructions." How many of you have ever heard a voice from heaven tell you, "Go to this place at this time"? Anyone brave enough to say that they've heard a voice from heaven say that? My childhood pastor was fond of saying the only voice from above he ever heard was, "Attention, Kmart shoppers." But somehow Philip, the deacon, in the midst of performing his ministry, gets this, well, who knows if it's hearing a voice or having a burning sensation in his spirit, but for whatever reason, he feels compelled to go to this road in the south at noon, at the heat of the day, when no one is going to be out traveling. No one is going to be there, but he obeys, he's obedient. And he goes, and he waits. Pretty soon, a chariot comes rolling along, and he hears the voice of someone reading out loud from Hebrew scripture. And he looks into the chariot and must be surprised at who he sees reading from the Hebrew scripture from the prophet Isaiah. Someone from Ethiopia. Someone who looks different from him. Someone who is dressed in a way that is different from what his dress is. Someone from a different culture. Someone who is so different, in fact, that I wonder what Philip's first move was. I wonder if Philip sort of watched the chariot go by and said to himself, "Well, that's an odd thing to see. Now I wonder when God is going to tell me what to do next. I wonder when God is going to send the person that I'm actually supposed to talk to. There's no way that it could be this guy." And that's when the Spirit sort of gives him that tap on the shoulder and says, "No, catch up to him. Talk to him." Philip is Jewish. As far as we know, born Jewish, circumcised, part of the covenant people, part of the covenant community. And here is this Ethiopian. Oh, and did I forget to mention that he's part of sort of the royal entourage? What Luke, the gospel writer, writes to us in the book of Acts is that this particular Ethiopian is in charge of all of the treasury of the queen of Ethiopia. Oh, and one other sort of important detail in all of this is that he is a eunuch. Now, not everyone might know what a eunuch is, so let me describe it to you in not quite brutal details, but this is something really important to the story. You see, in many ancient kingdoms, and well, perhaps kingdoms today, I don't really know for sure whether this is still a practice or not, but in order for a man to be a trustworthy servant of the royal family, there must be no chance that the person could ever possibly try to overthrow the government and become a king himself. And there also must be no possibility ever of the person trying to make sexual advances toward the queen or the princesses or all of those kinds of things. So what is a surefire way to make sure that a male part of a community would be prevented from engaging in sexual contact with women and prohibited from ever becoming king? Castration. Probably when he's a boy, which we would consider abuse, right? Here is a person who has been abused by his own society in order that he might be a servant. Now, regardless of what his status is now, we know that he can read. We know that he's probably fairly well-to-do if he's this close to the royal family. But all those things notwithstanding, here is someone who is the victim of an abusive culture. Does that sound anything like ancient Israel to you? Because it sure does to me. These guys have a lot in common. But I wonder if they're able to see that. At first. You see, Scripture prohibits eunuchs from participating in the worship of God. It very clearly states in the book of Leviticus and the book of Deuteronomy that those who have had their genitals crushed or mutilated or removed in any way are not able to enter the temple and participate in the worship of God. And yet, here is this faithful Ethiopian who is reading from the Scriptures and longing to understand what it is they say. And so the Holy Spirit says to our dear friend Philip, go talk to this guy. So Philip does. He says, do you understand what it is you're reading? To which the Ethiopian says, how can I unless someone explains it to me? And Philip gives this Ethiopian and us, readers of the book of Acts, a first look into the identification of Jesus as the suffering servant from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, silent before his shearers. And Philip goes on to explain that this passage of Scripture is about Jesus. He proclaims the gospel boldly to this Ethiopian. And as they ride along, and Philip is explaining these things, they look over and they see a lake, a pool of water. And the Ethiopian says to Philip, look, there's some water. What's to prevent me from being baptized? And just as Philip has had an opportunity to interpret for this Ethiopian what God's word has to say to his life, someone else who could be considered a suffering servant. Now the Ethiopian poses a question to Philip, which will cause him to have to think about his faith, to think about the religious traditions that he's a part of. What is to prevent this Ethiopian from being baptized? His culture? His skin color, his physical condition. And Philip says, nothing. And that, friends, is a radical statement. Because as we'll find out next week, this is going to spark a huge debate in the church over who it is that can be baptized and be a part of the kingdom of God. But there have always been those faithful leaders who have thrown out years and years, centuries, millennia of tradition in order that those who have been separated from true community can be brought to the inside. And Philip is a shining example of this. In this encounter between Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, we find a model for how the Holy Spirit is working in our world today. At the risk of just taking a baby toe step into the realm of politics for one second, you would think that the House of Representatives would want a medal for working together on a bipartisan budget package. You know, you would think that they would all want statues, that, gee, they could work together for 5 minutes. Which is a clear example of the fact that in our society, people who think differently from each other so seldom talk to each other about their differences. We live in a time when it has never been easier to communicate with people who are different from us, and yet we seem to revert into those little clans, into those little sects of people who think exactly the same way that we do. But this story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch shows us that the Holy Spirit works powerfully in encounters between different peoples, peoples from different cultures, peoples with different languages, peoples with different faith traditions, peoples with different political leanings, peoples with different opinions and ideas and philosophies. It's funny that I should say this in a church when I could pick up stones and throw several of them and hit other churches with different ideas about things and different traditions that we differ with, that we don't gather together with on a Sunday morning to worship because those things create barriers. And even within our own tradition, these things happen. Here we sit this morning, and as I look around, an all-white congregation. And not 5 miles from here, another Reformed church in Patterson, Faith Chapel, that is 100% black, African American, Caribbean. Martin Luther King said, back in the 60s, that the most segregated hour in America, 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, as Christians flee to their own places to worship. This is a real problem for us in our faith witness to the world. The church should be leaders in working out differences. And yet too often we have retreated into what is comfortable for us. Imagine if Philip had done what was comfortable for him. He probably never would have left the relative safety of caring for the widows and the orphans among his own people. And the gospel may have never gone to Ethiopia. But if you read the annals of the early church, this Ethiopian eunuch takes the gospel back with him to Ethiopia, to the house of the royal family. And the Ethiopian church is one of the oldest remaining church traditions in the world today. All because someone was faithful in listening to the Holy Spirit and didn't allow cultural and social and political things to keep them from following God's work. God is alive in our world today. The Spirit is at loose, giving us more than our fair share of opportunities to proclaim that good news in a myriad of different ways. My prayer for us is that we would take up Philip's mantle and reach out to those who think different, think differently than we do. To take up the mantle of the gospel in tearing down all of the fences and all of the walls that we build around ourselves, reaching out to those who are different from us. Because it's in those encounters that God shows up and does wonderful, miraculous things. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we recognize that this call to action is not an easy one for us, for many reasons, not the least of which is that it's comfortable where we are. We're happy where we are. We don't often want to be moved. Change is hard. But Lord, stir something deep within our hearts and our souls, that we might not be happy with the status quo that our culture is presenting us with, and instead might boldly proclaim that you are Lord over every relationship and every situation. Give us opportunities to learn from one another. Keep us humble, Lord, so that we might hear the way that your Spirit is moving in our midst and conform more closely to the image and likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.